Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 262.
This week on the podcast, Trump will save the middle class by lowering his own taxes for America.
And Trump finally settles on a response strategy for the Puerto Rico crisis. Twitter warfare with a struggling local politician.
Plus, old chartering habits die hard for the rich former executives helping, quote, drain the swamp.
And Alabama decides it's finally time to go full crazy. That's right, they've got crazy they haven't even shown us yet.
Plus, Twitter has now done more to counteract Russian electoral interference than the White House.
And we've got a break in the case for the age-old question, how many degrees of separation between Kevin Bacon and North Korea?
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
You can leave us a review on the internet.
That's right.
iTunes,
leave us a review.
One great place to leave a review for Brain Trust Live.
Tell everybody that you know and or don't know.
That's right.
Strangers, to us.
Enemies, friends,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Pets, inanimate objects, whoever.
Yeah.
They all love podcasts.
Yeah.
Everyone loves
sure.
a good podcast.
Yeah.
This week we have a lot to get through.
We do.
It was a busy week. It was the end of the Obamacare repeal.
Yay.
Hopefully. I mean, for now. Right.
Uh-huh.
But in an effort to distract all of us, we have a new tax proposal
we got a
from
shit
the Trumpers.
Tax plan, so that's
yeah,
exciting.
That's fun. We have mm-hmm. the crisis in Puerto Rico.
Yes. Not fun.
Not fun. Mm-hmm. We have various members of the Trump cabinet using public money to pay for personal extravagant travel.
Sure. Yeah.
More members than you would think.
Uh-huh.
Too many members. This is yeah. what happens when you invite rich people to help you drain the swamp. Drain
yeah,
the swamp.
Exactly.
But most importantly, we have another guest co-host with
yeah.
us this week. She's so funny. She's an actor. She's a writer. Say hello to Ritza Bloom. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
We
get to keep our healthcare, guys.
Get to keep
yes,
our healthcare.
Yes, for one more day.
Right, so
die another day, okay?
Every
the
day.
This hashtag, die another day, Trump care.
Yeah.
I know.
Every day's a gift, yes.
It was due to the exact same series of people that it's always due to, so it's right. curious why they tried again, but
like,
here we are.
Yeah, I just always had the same problem, so it was so weird that they were just, oh, we'll just try this other
yeah.
thing that's exactly
Susan
the same and see
yeah.
if the three people that have been voting
maybe
on it since the beginning of time will... Yeah.
Exactly. Do you ever, like,
no.
close your eyes and imagine, like, the gifts and fruit baskets that these, like...
I know.
You know, people must have been receiving so they would change their vote?
Like...
Right.
And,
you
like, know? Underhanded promises of
oh,
money
yeah.
from lobbyists and various
oh, yeah.
things, because I feel like... More so than a fruit basket, what they're getting is like a cryptic phone call through a
yeah.
back channel
yeah.
that promises
like the
them
Da Vinci Code.
$1 million
yeah.
towards their next election.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
they're like
an obscure ass phone call.
You're
going to
get white blood cells
exactly.
in the mail. Like, if you vote for this shit. And they're like, what?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, basically.
I love it.
Yeah, and,
yeah.
you know, John McCain dying anyway, so he can't be swayed.
No,
no that's
he's
true.
Done.
Like,
yeah.
what does he
He's like,
there
he wants
go.
To go to heaven. Now it counts.
Yeah.
He's trying to get to the pearly gates, and he's like, I don't want to have to answer to St. Peter
Most
about
importantly,
damn healthcare.
He wants to be celebrated no. for the remainder of his days and forever.
What's he called? The Maverick?
Yeah, the,
yeah,
the
Maverick.
Well, that's a
yeah.
self... That's a self-described. He's a self-described Maverick.
Well, aren't we in the age of self-description, though?
That's true.
Like, hasn't
so
Trump
true.
Self-described his way
himself.
To the White House?
He,
yeah.
yes.
You know what I mean? It's all about the branding.
Yeah. McCain yes. apparently got that early.
Hashtag BTL. You
Five
know what I mean?
Plane,
right.
get that brand.
Five plane crashes in. McCain went with Maverick.
Right.
That's
yeah.
the only word you can use for that guy.
Absolutely.
But so Trump World tried to really like pivot because of this, because they were trying to look successful
right.
in the wake of all of this.
Yeah, they need to figure out the next thing to fail at. Unfortunately,
right. yeah.
I feel like they might not at this, maybe, but who knows?
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
No.
But we got a tax plan this
it's
week.
Gonna, okay.
Like,
I don't
plan.
Put
right.
any
plan. Right.
ceiling
yeah.
on their ability to fail. Like,
yeah,
I
no,
think
no, no,
that
no.
they could...
It's like the glass ceiling that Hillary was supposed
Obamacare
to get the acceptance
thing,
reach on.
Right, yeah.
That
right.
is, you know what I mean? They're shattering the failure ceiling every day.
Every day.
I'm
they,
very impressed.
They never have failed to fail at something that was a giveaway...
Never
in
failed.
The first
also, y'all have
failed.
Everything, you know? Like,
right.
how do you fail when you have everything? The
that's
whole team jerseys.
The mystery.
All, everyone's wearing them,
yeah.
you know? Like, the Heartland, you're still going to the Trump rallies.
Yeah.
You
right.
still have
uh-huh.
support that doesn't make sense to me. But And still, yet.
Yeah.
I,
yeah.
On the theme of Yom Kippur, do you feel like Obamacare is having a very, like, Hanukkah-esque, like, it was only supposed to last
for 8 days
and now
we're just,
right.
like, continuing.
This is a miracle,
to...
you know?
Right.
Like,
uh-huh.
should we make a faith around it at this point?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or a
sure.
holiday?
That always, my faith, I've always described as being the Constitution. So I feel like,
which is a very Republican thing to say.
This is like
it is. Well, because you know God wrote it.
That's true.
That's why it's in English, because God speaks English. I look at the Bible. Jesus always speaks in English.
In my faith, people wrote the Constitution, and that's how it differs. We're from a different sect of constitutionalism than the Republicans. You know, the God wrote the Constitution. Republicans also believe in the Constitution as scripture.
Right.
But they believe that it's infallible.
Well, not like Jewish God. Not like that Abraham God. It's like a certain God.
It's very specific.
It's a cowboy God. It's like that God is like that with the Moore guy with the gun and the like the cowboy hat. Like that's their God. Yeah, 10-gallon hat.
That's the God.
Yes.
That's in there.
Like that God definitely owned slaves and like has a very like tricky relationship with it now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like not super sorry about it.
No, because he thinks
it helped develop his
had a lot of wives.
Yes, it's very almost Mormon. You know, it's like that a cowboy Mormon,
a slave owner Mormon kind of combo. That's like a really
and occasionally says like has an oopsies phrase about like an ethnic minority.
Yeah, well,
like, that God definitely like everyone's just like Chinese. Oops, you know, like take a bath, take a bath.
He uses the word Oriental regularly.
Mm-hmm. To describe soups, rugs, humans, babies.
Doesn't matter.
Describes hurricanes and that. Exactly. Like, it was a very Oriental storm that came in. Like, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
Back to this.
Back to this. I'm so sorry.
What were we talking about?
No.
We were saving the world.
So, Trump unveiled this plan on Wednesday. He unveiled it in Indianapolis, and he said,
which is where we unveil plans.
Well, yes.
You know, like, where I would unveil things Indianapolis. Is in Indianapolis.
Yeah. The NASCAR state. He literally said, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I guess it's probably something I could say I'm very good at.
Huh?
So does Based that mean he's good at once in a lifetime opportunities? Good at taxes? Good at tax reform? Good at theft? Good at white collar crime?
Well, that's good at that.
Yeah. So maybe he
is. I mean, that might
stealing from the poor and middle class.
Yes, that kind of thing. Yeah. Not paying contractors. So he does have a history, and maybe he is like he's like an Olympian when it comes to like rob theft,
a celebrated
grand theft auto.
That's true.
Well, I thought I was going to say, I thought he was crazy in that statement, but I feel like we just actually got to the bottom of it really quickly.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
He's like read between the lines, people.
That's right.
You know,
you have to go one step into metaphor with him, and then you can understand what
always.
He's saying.
Always. Like conservative God, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The main things this tax reform plan does, it slashes the corporate tax rate.
Sure.
He believes that's critical to bringing business back.
Yeah.
But it's also critical to lowering his own taxes and those of his friends.
And making his friends very, I was going to say, we've all seen Wolf of Wall Street.
Right.
You know?
We
they're
know
the ones
who
taking private jets that we pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. We're going to get to private
jets. We're going to get to private
jets. Oh, yeah. That's I'm so sorry, BTL audience. Love that. You know, I'm so excited to be here. Skipping forward.
It also decreases the top tax rate for individuals. It collapses our 7 tax brackets into 3 tax brackets. It lowers
use your
the
number
top
from the count.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
It lowers the top tax bracket from 39.6% to 35%.
Yeah.
And then the other two are 12% and 25%. Our current tax bracket structure ranges from 10% to almost 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So this sort of like squeezes people on the low end and lowers taxes on the high end anyway.
Good.
They have they're saying that they brought this down to 35 to leave room on the side for a higher tax bracket for like the very, very, very top earners.
Oh,
like if they
the
have
elite.
To get into like negotiations sort of to like have like
have
one
room.
Higher tax bracket that basically like only Bill Gates is going to have to pay basically.
Right. Good, good, good. Yeah. Warren Buffett. Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Very exclusive.
But also they don't, none of these have like income thresholds set. So that would be up to Congress to set who fits into these
that's
tax brackets.
Fun.
What
so
they've
this
done.
Is, this is like an, this is an outline. It's like a sort of. It's
they
a,
did that.
A
it's like what you turn in when you didn't
basically.
Do your homework,
exactly.
But you did it on the bus. Yeah. Like, this is what you turn in.
Yeah.
This like outline.
That's what this is.
This was done probably to stop anyone from doing an analysis of the proposal.
Right, exactly.
Because
if it's vague enough, there's no math.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Math things, for poets. Yeah.
Things that we do know the effects of would include eliminating the alternative minimum tax, which is that's basically a floor that prevents rich people from doing write-offs to to stop them from having any tax share whatsoever.
Right.
And we're
eliminating that.
Yeah. So that, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, closing those loopholes.
It's the difference between 1 and 2 weeks in Monaco, okay?
Yeah. Right.
Like, if I could go for 2 weeks.
Yes. They work hard.
Yes. Exactly.
It eliminates the estate tax, which... Great. Affects rich people passing on their estate tax.
It's the death tax.
Yes, it's called the Obama death panel tax. Sorry. Death panel tax. Right. You want us to die so you take our money.
Yeah.
That should be rightfully belong to our kids who did not work for it.
That's
at
right.
All.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
One day.
Yeah.
That's to prevent your wasted layabout millionaire children from having to start working once you die.
Yeah. Because it's literally only people who are like passing down more than $5.5 million.
Yeah,
right. Because you know, when you see the Trump kids, you think all three of them should be in control of a large estate. In a large,
they deserve it.
Exactly. I think, like, and they shouldn't have to pay taxes on it.
Ew, of course not.
Ew.
What do they owe to this society?
No, they have done nothing wrong.
Right. No, okay. We've just bailed them out 6 times, but they don't
accept
us anything.
Whatever. Okay. Right. They're relatively blameless.
It also increases the standard deduction, which sounds like a tax cut strategy. But it eliminates a lot of the deductions that people use to increase their, you know, sort of like to decrease their tax share. So it would basically mean that individuals or married couples, the sort of the ceiling would be kind of increased for like their, you know, the regular sort of deduction ceiling is increased.
Okay.
Or the deduction rate is increased, but they no longer could deduct like, you know, state and local taxes, which in really high tax states like California, it's a huge deduction and is one of the main ways that you bring your taxes down.
Yeah.
So it means that states that pay, it kind of punishes people that live in states.
Live in blue states.
That live in blue states.
Oh, good. Okay. Yes, we feel the burn.
And then the only deductions it keeps are home mortgage interest and charitable deductions.
Right.
So if you live in a tax haven, then you
Alabama or
feel great because your personal deduction skyrockets. But if you live in a state like California, your taxes will probably go up.
Wow. Mm. That's how they do it.
Yeah.
And they use this thinly veiled ass language too.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. Trump called it a miracle for the middle class.
Oh, it's
for the working person.
Okay.
Right. A miracle.
Because he would know. Yeah. He's so in touch.
Yeah. He also said, it's not good for me, believe me. Now, most experts...
Which we know he's a lie.
Right,
most experts are saying that that's the opposite of
the truth.
What's true.
Yeah.
But it also, according to the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, which is a nonpartisan committee, the framework that they provided would cost taxpayers about $2.2 trillion over the next decade.
Yeah. Right. So how exactly are we going to, like, fiscally sustain this?
Yeah, well,
we're going to build the wall, especially for warring with North Korea. We're going to go to war. We have the, we were going to go with Venezuela, too.
Yeah, nobody knows why.
Everyone on that little travel ban list, we got to go big on.
Yeah.
Okay. So how is this going to help us? And we already have, like, crazy military spending anyway, but...
Right. Well, yeah.
We're going to get rid of Medicaid.
Well, people will die to save the freedoms of our people from North Korea.
Well, what they say is that because these tax cuts are going to be a miracle, is that the economy is just going to take off.
Yes.
Ooh.
Well, all of a sudden, like, we're going to start growing.
For who exactly?
We're going to start, but we're going to, the GDP is going to go from whatever percent it is now. It's just going to, you know, multiply exponentially. And all of a sudden, like, the economy is really just going to go, you know,
boom.
I remember another time that we had this plan. It was the last time we did tax reform under a Republican president.
I was going to say, this hasn't trickled down under
it didn't trickle down then, and I don't think it's going
to
happen.
No. And it's one of those things where when you say it out loud, because I've had this explained to me multiple times from different people, and it never makes sense.
The idea of,
let's make rich people, let's make their lives as easy as possible.
Yeah.
Let's make them have the least amount of responsibility for our country. Great, you know? And then let's just make poor people who have enough problems in charge of funding everything.
Because rich people provide them the jobs.
Because you need a pool cleaner and a nanny and a tennis coach and a dog groomer.
Well, and you need a private jet. I mean, how are you supposed to get around?
And that takes at least 5 people to man that start to finish.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, good. Yeah. Okay.
Job creators.
It never makes sense.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
They're not mathematicians.
No. Right.
The Republican Party. Yeah.
But they're a good... Go for it.
Also, I was just going to say, it's also so rich coming from them, too.
I know.
Like, I know they love to say that, like, the economy is going to take off, and that's how they're going to cover this $2.2 trillion.
Yeah, like
trillion.
It's just gonna take off.
Right, but like
when we're in war,
for a party who is so hell bent on, I mean, this is a party who wanted to pass a constitutional amendment that you had to balance the budget.
Right, oh my God.
You know what I mean?
But, of course, but now when they're doing it, there's no, they're not going to have that.
Yeah. But this is a common.
Fiscal responsibility is one of their main tenets.
Oh, it's the whole thing. I know so many people that are, I'm fiscally conservative. Yeah, like, not even knowing what the hell that means, clearly. No. Like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
No. But they
conservatism went out the window a while ago when they, went out the window under George Bush when they started funding all these unnecessary wars and then they forgot that.
That costs money.
That costs
and people will come back with receipts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like as we've seen here and as we talked about before, just they have such a great branding strategy when it comes to a very uneducated base. Okay?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like Democrat, we would tear each other apart if we did this bullshit. Like enough people we'd be like, excuse me, I went to college, here's my degree. I know exactly what this I clearly read facts. But if you use words like miraculous, that just that's straight from conservative God.
That's
Exactly.
It's a cowboy.
More money in your pocket.
Oh yeah. Even though
they love more money in their pockets.
That never really happens.
No. It seems to only get worse and worse. Also they forget like having more money in your pocket is great until your expenses go up dramatically.
Yeah.
Like, it's all well and good to have a tax cut. Except that when your healthcare bills total $200,000 a year.
So you can have personal choice.
Exactly.
God, and we're struggling to figure out how to fund roads.
Trust me, some of the roads I got here on. And that was like part of, you know, it felt like a mechanical bull in my car because it's just that bumpy.
Welcome to Southern California.
No, exactly. And you think, because
a car city that can't do roads.
That can't do roads. And one of his platforms was infrastructure. Remember that?
Yeah.
He's like, I traveled all over the world.
Yeah, remember when he announced
that was
going to
be a bipartisan.
That was the good old days.
Right.
That we have to think about fondly now.
Well, he wants this to be bipartisan because he's courting Joe Manchin, Heidi Heitkamp, and Joe Donnelly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and they're terrible enough buy off on it, too. That's why I think this might actually pass, because I think there's I think there's a couple Democrats who he could probably gather. Well, Joe Donnelly flew on Air Force One to Indiana because he's the senator from Indiana, and he's up for re-election.
Oh, and so Trump, at the rally, after flying him to Indiana, threatened to primary him if...
threatened to go there and campaign against him, not primary him.
If he didn't go vote for the tax cut.
Well, as we see when Trump campaigns clearly for people, like, things work out.
That worked really well.
Screw that threat, because clearly, your word isn't worth shit. Yeah.
Especially, I feel like Indiana maybe is the kind of state where it's sort of, like, vaguely Rust Belt crazy in a way that Trump has an appeal in.
Oh, yeah.
I also... I think that that same genre of person who votes for Trump because they're filled with rage and hate and fear is maybe the exact wrong audience for this tax cut.
Right.
Because it's not a tax cut for middle-class people or working-class people, and they are working-class people.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Studies of the plan, what they can study based on the few facts that are available about it, show that it will disproportionately benefit the wealthy.
Duh.
The Tax Policy Center...
I didn't even need to see that. Okay, honey? Like, I didn't even need to see that.
I know. Do you want to read the whole report?
Come on, no. I just have to look at the person who's telling it to me, and then I assess, okay? I make a quick assessment again.
The Tax Policy
Center...
They're
so lucky their people are stupid. They're so effing lucky that their people out here coal mining and goat fucking to, like, understand this.
The Tax Policy Center had to, like, basically made a set of assumptions about what, you know, what the actual outcome, you know, what the tax brackets would end up being and stuff that to do their analysis and said that the wealthiest 1% would take home $129,000 in tax cuts in 2018 under this plan. That would raise their after-tax income by 8.5%. Regular people would also see a tax cut, but their tax cut would be an average of 1.2%. So
good.
So we are giving rich people an eight times the tax cut that we're giving poor people percentage wise.
Because they deserve it.
Percentage wise.
Because they're the American dream. Rats to riches.
But ultimately, by 2027, 30% of people earning between $50,000 and $150,000 and 60% of people earning between $150,000 and $300,000 would pay more in taxes. So ultimately, it doesn't lower taxes for most middle class people.
Yeah. Right.
And
just
middle class.
Businesses and super rich.
Just businesses
and
super
rich. Okay, good. Yeah. They, God bless them. So, they've had a hard enough
time. That's a fun time for everyone.
Yeah.
If they pass it under budget reconciliation, it would expire in 10 years if it doesn't lower the deficit.
Mm-hmm. Which so, clearly it's which not going to. No, it's going to add to it.
So willing to deal for 10 years. That's good.
Well, one of the obstacles here is that they aren't going to have the votes to pass it without budget reconciliation because then they need 60 votes.
And that's right.
If they do pass it, it's going to expire.
Oh,
so
good.
There is that
some hope.
Sort of, you know, legislative hurdle.
Okay.
It's the only one.
Well, that's good. All it's right. like when you build like a kill switch into a machine and you hope
by accident because you're incompetent.
Dumb
you know,
great. Okay. Does it feel like, you know, the Republicans, do they feel like that magician that just like throws the smoke bombs everywhere and escapes with all your money, like after they stole everyone's wallet?
Yeah, I think so. That's the
perfect... That's what it feels like. Okay. Yeah. Good. Like with the NFL and all that bullshit, you know, that was just a quick smoke bomb to get us talking about it so they can draft this on a piece of paper.
And this is honestly, this is what they have always done whenever they are in power. And it's it's like the two Santa Claus, you know, situation where it's like, we're going to give you, you know, we're going to give you a tax cut, but then they never cut spending.
No, right. Of course not.
They claim they want to. They claim they want to cut spending.
Yeah.
But they don't actually ever really cut spending.
No.
So it's basically like they give you a tax cut, but then they still give you all of the things
that
you want. Yeah. Like know, they may make some cuts here and there to things that like don't actually add up to anything.
Right. Because of course they can add.
And this is how we end up in debt all the time. And this is why you need Democratic presidents to come in or governors or whatever. I mean, when you look around the country and you look at who's running budget surpluses, it's places that are being run by Democrats, and there's not very many of them.
Oh, but, good. I mean, we're in
form. You know, like, you look at California, we're running a budget surplus. But Minnesota's running a budget surplus. I mean, you look at some of these places that are, like, actually doing well, and it's because they have acknowledged that you have to
tax people to spend money.
You have to have money coming into the state to be able to function.
Hello. And even Trump in old interviews, sorry to cut you off, he's admitted that. Have you seen that clip when he was like, the economy's always better under Democrats? It's like,
he's admitted every position on every in an interview. Exactly.
At one point, before all the like brain corrosion due to, you know, coke or whatever, he understood the way this worked.
Fascinating.
How quickly we forget. The muscles just atrophy. They take an hour.
He understands whatever was last said to him now, too. It's just that he's surrounded himself with asshats.
Some sycophants,
like, he understood the importance of the Affordable Care Act for the five minutes after he met Obama for the first time.
Oh, my God. You know, like,
he can understand stuff for up to 5 minutes. That's important.
Should we, like, invest in some sort of like, you know, remember Hooked on Phonics and they have like Baby Einstein? Should we invest in like some software for him that has like sing-along songs and facts?
Oh, interesting.
Facts embedded in there.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, like it's a good beat and he'd be like, oh, this is dope, and then he'll learn these things.
Do you think he likes music or fun things at all?
No.
Well, we saw him in the choo-choo fire train. We saw him in the fire truck.
True.
We saw him in the...
He had such a good time in there.
That was the best time he's had in a long time, including the Russian hookers, okay? Yeah. So, like, there's a child
very dour,
in there.
The
but
Russian
yet
hookers,
still decided to get rid of the playground for his kid from the White House lawn.
Well, he doesn't want his kid to have fun.
No.
He doesn't like his kid.
Of course he doesn't.
That kid
he
is not
like
Ivanka.
Tiffany is dead to him. You know, freaking Donald Jr. is super dead. Like, he's in a basement. We haven't heard from him in a while.
No.
Eric who?
Eric
every month's a paternity test.
Eric has a dumb face.
Yeah,
of course he does.
His face of all the kids is the dumbest.
Yeah.
Like, he
most
looks
punchable.
Like he doesn't understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, your fist will not get hurt at all. Like, Ivanka, my fist will probably be sore for a day.
Yeah.
Donald Trump probably has razors embedded under his flesh.
Right.
So, like, I don't want to try that.
Right.
But, like, Eric.
Yeah, Eric's like,
freaking clown.
Destroy him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile,
Puerto
Rico's falling apart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's a fact that I learned
so
this week because of all this coverage. Apparently, almost half of Americans don't realize that Puerto Ricans are fellow U.S. citizens.
How did that happen?
Right?
How did that happen? Because, you know, the first couple hurricanes, the Irma and whatever, and Jose came, and we're all like, let's help each other. And then I remember turning to my husband and saying, okay, do people understand that this is also our problem?
They do not.
You know what I mean?
They literally
like
do not.
Harvey, this is an American territory filled with American citizens who are having a major humanitarian crisis.
Absolutely.
And we're just like... Well, I don't know. They're in debt. They're going to have to figure out what to do about that debt.
We're in debt.
Right?
You know, we're all in debt.
But also, why are we treating American territories as the developing nations that we destroy the economies of in the rest of Latin America? Like, that's what's so confusing to me about this in particular, because the debt crisis there was about creating and then eliminating a tax shelter for American corporations.
Right.
So we did exactly what we've done to a lot of developing states all over the world, where we... we lowered their taxes dramatically. We imposed austerity economics on them.
Yeah.
Then everyone pulled out. Then their economies fell apart. And there's no money to pay for anything because they have no taxes to pay for anything because we eliminated all of their tax base.
Yeah.
Like, that is exactly what we did to Puerto Rico, except that Puerto Rico is an American territory filled with American citizens who, unlike those other states where we can go on about how much we hate immigration if we're in the Trump world, Puerto Rican citizens can come here
anytime
as
they want.
Yeah. So everyone in Puerto Rico can move to mainland United States as they wish.
Right. And Trump knows a lot of them being a New Yorker. So
yeah,
that,
exactly.
You know, so you think that he would want them to come.
I mean, that's what's so bizarre about this is the one place where there is no confusion about whether Puerto Rico is an American territory is New York City, because we have
it's essentially Puerto Rico.
It's essentially Puerto Rico. I literally went to Puerto Rico with my mother and we were like, it's so homey here. What's so it felt so familiar there.
Yeah,
and it was it felt just like New York. But but I mean, like, that's the one place where you would 100% be familiar with the idea that that Puerto Ricans are Americans.
Right.
And, like, somehow Donald Trump,
also,
once
you're the president, too.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
just
you have Rando in Tupelo, Mississippi may not get that.
But, I mean,
but you're the president of the United States, and that counts.
I assume he only knows things that he already knew. Like, I assume that he doesn't necessarily retain new facts.
Right, he's not learning new things.
Right, like, he
but he should
learned
have
in his mind. Like,
especially since he's from New York.
Because he's from New York, he shouldn't have to have been...
But
I mean,
he was like he's from a golden tower in New York.
Oh, you're right.
Though.
Like, how much interaction is he actually having with the average Puerto Rican person?
Probably a lot, because they're probably half the people that his father was redlining out of his fucking
development. Well, no, he was waving as they were moving out of the building.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's what his interaction was.
Yeah,
it was
half of the people that they were turning away for applications.
Yeah,
he's were Puerto Rican, probably.
You know,
in any case. That was concerning to me. But Puerto Rico lost power entirely for like a week after this hurricane.
Well, and it could be out for a long time.
And it could be out.
Yeah,
like,
no, there's no feasible way of like guessing if it's coming back.
And they've been sitting around with very little access to any sort of aid, kind of like wondering what they're supposed to do because there's no resources there. They've been having a huge debt crisis. The infrastructure was shot before this hurricane came through.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not even the kinds of resources that you normally have in a situation like this for like search and rescue activities and like other like life-saving activities. So the death rate right now, the death toll right now is 16, but they expect
that
number
go
to rise.
For sure.
Plus, they haven't even cleaned the whole place. Like, there's still so many buildings that
are flat. Exactly.
Oh,
who knows who's trapped under there?
Exactly.
You know?
But meanwhile, on Friday, Trump tweeted, "The fact is that Puerto Rico has been destroyed by two hurricanes. Big decisions will have to be made about the cost of its rebuilding." As if he's maybe not willing to make a commitment to helping them rebuild.
Right?
Yeah. Does he understand?
Big decisions by others will have to be made.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Will they get rebuilt? Will they not? Who knows?
Like, and a spokesman for FEMA said that the, you know, kind of also was indicating that they're planning to kind of pussyfoot around the operation there, because they were basically like, well, we have to go in and see what's gone wrong. And like, they really haven't done an accurate assessment of the damage yet, which is also crazy.
Is it because it's a big ocean that surrounds it, as he said?
They don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
No one has invented boats yet.
To guess what? Like, it's not like going to Florida. Would it be helpful if he had like a golf property there? Because I remember like...
he used to.
Okay, so
he
maybe
it's a big controversy.
Didn't he screw them over?
Yeah.
I think I think he's technically owes Puerto Rico like
so
millions of
dollars.
He's
in debt to them, and they're in debt to us, and we're
well,
in debt to them.
Part
everything.
Of
okay.
the issue here is that a bunch of rich people are going to lose money on their debt restructuring deal, so they're all really sore about that. And part of why the Trump class is not interested in helping them rebuild.
Right.
Because they're all kind of like, fuck you, we lost money on our investments there.
Great.
Which is
good. This is
a great way to think about a humanitarian
crisis. I'm so glad we went for an outsider president,
yes.
you know, because
exactly.
he's so not embroiled in a lot of crap.
Oh, and then later on Friday, during a speech on tax policy, he said, "Ultimately, the government of Puerto Rico will have to work with us to determine how this massive rebuilding effort will be funded."
Okay, as if they're
Do they
like,
need to work
okay.
with us, or can we just fund it?
He's acting like it's completely their fault, too. Like, well, you guys got to clean yourself up, okay?
Yeah.
Know,
ultimately,
right?
you got to meet us halfway.
But this is the
You're
story.
You're living on that island.
Right.
This
I mean,
is the shock doctrine, basically.
Your
this
choice.
Is the story of American sort of like imperialism in this hemisphere,
right.
at least. But it's really interesting to hear it applied this directly to an American territory.
Yeah, this
like,
is
I
our
get
problem,
that
guys.
Ultimately,
this is
they're
our
a colony.
Problem.
I well, get that that's why we're treating them as
like
if they're some
shit.
Random developing
right,
state.
Right, exactly. Well,
but
and it's so weird
come
because
on.
Also,
but,
like,
guys.
We have seen the correct response just recently because
Duh.
We saw all of, you know, I think, I'm not sure if he went, but we heard, like, you know, Emmanuel Macron talking about, like,
mm-hmm.
all of the, because some of those are French islands
yeah.
in,
right.
the, in
yeah.
the Caribbean.
They have some
that
shit there,
got,
too.
And, like, they sort of like were quick to acknowledge that like those were
right,
you know
problems.
The
French
the, those
yeah.
were
people
those
that
were French
yeah.
problems
that, are dying
that
out
the
there.
French people
yeah.
had to take
well,
care
and
of
for
like,
context
so,
exactly
the disaster declaration after Hurricane Harvey included a promise of federal funds to cover up to 75% of the cost of repair of like damaged infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
The disaster declaration for Puerto Rico included no promise of
what?
That. So just what? A few weeks ago, wow. we had the exact same problem in another American territory.
Right.
And we promised the federal government would pay 75% of the damage. Of
yeah. Because Puerto Rico is going to have to work with us to figure out how they're going to pay for it.
Try a little,
yeah.
okay?
Right. They got to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Oh my God, I learned a funny fact about Please. That phrase.
Yes.
Which is that it was initially a phrase that was meant to describe something impossible. Because think about it.
How
you can't pull yourself up from your bootstraps.
Yeah.
There is no way. Once you are wearing boots,
you can't pull your own feet up. Yeah.
So the phrase itself describes something impossible. And that was wow. the original meaning of it. And it got flipped around
with,
at some point to describe wow. like this American dream rhetoric.
Fascinating.
Yeah. The initial use of it in terms of like describing the American dream was meant
to say that it's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, I thank you for
Let's go back to
shedding
that
some light.
Definition. Because
right?
I yeah. feel like it's just as appropriate.
And it always sounded weird, too. I was like, why is I going to pull myself up? I can tie my boots.
Right.
But I can't,
right.
like, pull
it
myself up.
It sounds impossible. That's why it's such an inferior. Because it yeah. is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
in
you know.
Case, fun fact from Lila Nordstrom.
I think even. I like that. You should drop one each episode. Like,
yeah,
this is a fun Lila fact.
Quick
yeah.
little
middle snap
middle
fact,
fact.
You know. Just even going back to the branding, which I think is the only thing they really rely on, whether it's taxes, whether it's whatever, like
yeah.
when you think of Texas, you think of Confederate God, you think of
that's true,
you know, like the hats and whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's so much easier for them to wrap their head around, like, we got to help Houston, like, got to be Houston
yeah.
strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florida.
I mean, think about their response to even Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Of course.
Those were clearly yeah. fellow Americans, and all Americans knew that at the
yeah.
time. And they
yeah.
uh-huh. dragged their heels complaining
exactly.
about how
yeah.
they didn't want to. You know, I mean, Trump wasn't president then, but they didn't want to fund any kind of reconstruction efforts there.
Exactly. It's just so interesting. And
yeah.
and it, when
and
you start
is,
seeing it, it's transparent. It's like,
yeah.
oh, okay,
oh,
Puerto
yeah.
Rican.
Sure.
Okay. That,
well,
yeah.
this
that
is
they
like
speak
the worst.
Spanish and they're browner.
Exactly.
Ooh, okay.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. yeah.
They may
yeah.
steal that money, so we don't know what they're going to do with
right.
it. Yeah.
Well, and this is, for the people of Puerto Rico, this is like the worst possible moment to be in the worst possible situation. Because
God, with the worst possible president.
We're
yeah.
already facing like all of this racist rhetoric, all of this anti-immigration rhetoric, which even though they're American citizens ends up impacting how mainland America views them.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's just like so many bad things about this
it's
moment
just the
if
stars
you're Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So fucked up, aligned. You know what I mean? Like they were so aligned in the shittiest way possible
right.
for them. And it's, ah, I feel badly.
The White House finally did settle on a response of sorts, which was to get into a Twitter war with the mayor of San Juan.
Yeah.
Does that count as a response?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Well, it's,
yeah.
it's a response.
It
it's not,
it
a, it's not an appropriate response.
Oh, okay.
But,
okay. Technically,
yeah.
yes, a response was made.
Yeah.
So Trump has been kind of rosy about the whole thing, talking about how great the, you know,
the
hurricane
response
efforts have been.
Yeah.
And
really satisfied
said,
with us. Five stars on Yelp.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's
yeah.
been incredible, the results we've had with respect to loss of life. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But maybe they've done a great
yeah.
job killing people. I'm not really sure.
I feel like he means his mind thinks that with respect to loss of life, we've only lost 6 people on record
right.
so far.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're not looking
7.
For the rest
yeah.
of them, so we can't
We're
find
not looking.
Them.
We're hoping
right.
they're in that big blue ocean
yeah.
so we don't even have to see them again.
Also,
exactly.
one of the things that I feel like has gone a little underreported in regards to the previous hurricane responses is like, that's a real sort of thanks Obama moment. Too,
yeah.
by the way, because we are
totally.
In his FEMA funding
right,
right
yeah,
now.
True.
A
that's
lot of
true.
The people who, not the head of FEMA, but like that organization is still sort of like largely staffed.
So
like
up, yeah.
I mean,
Obama
that
era
is,
people,
yeah.
yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
2 years from now, when this happens again, I guarantee
oh,
you the
bad.
Response is not going to look like this.
Yeah,
it's
and this
be
is
like
already
a,
bad.
It's going to be a thanks
yeah.
brownie.
Well,
moment
and this is the first
like,
moment that we've seen a break in the FEMA response.
Yes.
Anyway.
Right.
Because
yeah, Katrina was their first, like, oh, we all know this.
Because FEMA's run out of money,
yeah.
and now it's suddenly the Republicans' turn to fund
yeah, exactly.
them.
Ooh,
to fund it. Yeah.
It's so much easier to be the opposition party.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
right,
so much
exactly.
easier to
yeah.
be against everything.
Yeah.
Than
in
to
any
actually
case,
fix it.
The mayor of San Juan went on television and was basically like, where is the fucking help?
Right. Yeah.
She had to cry, too, for God's
yeah.
sakes. And you know
well,
she didn't want
to
do that.
She's like Cory Bookering up a storm, like wandering in floodwaters
yeah.
trying to help people get to safety and shit.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Like,
but she has to.
Right,
like,
I mean,
yeah.
that's what
exactly.
they're all doing.
That's
right?
what
you
got to do.
She has no electricity either. Yeah.
And so she's sitting there from, you know, floodwaters being like,
yeah, literally
where
waiting.
The fuck is the,
right.
the help?
Wait, like waving
Trump,
her arms
yeah.
to try to get helicopters.
Exactly.
To land.
Trump
yeah.
took exception to her claims. That
yeah.
as a person on the ground, she couldn't figure out
where the
help was coming from.
Exactly. Yeah, okay.
And also, the Trump administration has mostly been focusing on how this is a great news story. Like, that's their primary interest in it.
Yeah.
Is the coverage.
Don't you just
and then
love
she
it?
Was like, this is not a great news story.
No,
yeah.
This is a
by the way.
Come
news
here.
Story.
Come
this
here.
Is a people yeah. are dying story, is what she said.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
But so, in any case, then Trump took to Twitter in the wee hours of Saturday morning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. and tweeted, "The mayor of San Juan, who was very complimentary only a few days ago,
yeah,
has now
been
told by the Democrats that you must be nasty to Trump."
Yeah.
Such poor
leadership. Chuck Schumer literally texted her. I was like, "Girl, you got to be a total bitch to Trump. Right. Like, you got to act like you were on your period for Trump. You know, like, just be, you know, PSA. Oh, my God."
Then he tweets, "Such poor leadership ability by the mayor of San Juan and others in Puerto Rico who are not able to get their workers to help. They want everything to be done for them.
They're lazy and Hispanic.
When it should be a community effort. 10,000 federal workers now on the island doing a fantastic job."
Ooh, because they know how to do the bootstrap thing.
That's right.
Exactly. And the brown people that are so lazy.
Can't figure it out. No, just waiting for everybody to do it.
You just want us to clean it for you, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, like, never mind, that's our problem.
Yeah, of course not. In any case, obviously, then she went on television that night, on, like, every network. And
right.
I was like, no.
Yes. Thank you.
Then later on Saturday, Trump tried to be like, "Well, here are some other Puerto Ricans who said I did a good job."
Oh my God. You heard about those, like, complimentary briefings they give him, like, the only the good.
Yes.
Like, this is, so they had to go on Twitter and, like, find some Puerto Rican.
Don't worry. Yeah. The governor of Puerto Rico made a vague comment that could be interpreted to mean that you did a good job.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's part of his briefing. He was like, "Oh, okay, I'm doing okay." Like, exactly.
But the real news story here was that he went golfing J-Lo this weekend, unlike when the hurricane in Texas happened and he went to Texas.
Wait, what?
He claims he's going to Puerto Rico on Tuesday, but he only started claiming that after he got a lot of flack for the fact that he started golfing this weekend instead of visiting Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Why didn't he come sooner? Even if it's just for the photo op. Even if he has no idea what he's doing.
This happened not last week. It happened the week before.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've been in the shit dorm.
And if there's one thing that he cares about, it's his TV ratings and approval ratings.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And whether you are a person, as Trump is, who probably just recently learned that Puerto Ricans are Americans.
My God.
Like,
how
the best way to boost both your TV and approval ratings is to go and save people from a disaster.
Easy.
Even if they're not Americans.
Yeah.
Like,
get your ass there.
Just go and, like,
get a camera on you.
Get a camera on you.
Yes.
Scooping some food onto a plate
baby,
and
like
handing
a
it to a baby.
Yeah.
Like,
I have a different theory, which is that he has, you know, his 20% base that's the only people who still like him.
They like him at, like, a crazy amount, though.
This
that's all
visual,
he's
though, doesn't help him with them, and those are the only people he ever makes appeals to.
But the NFL crap helps.
It's like if he went, you know, it's like if there was a crisis in some city in the South that was, like, a majority African-American city in the South.
Oh, fuck
it wouldn't
that.
Help
going to
his ratings.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. It wouldn't help his ratings, as he would term it, to
go
scoop food
for
black people. Because
they need to get their own damn food like they used to do back in the day. You know, when they used to get everybody's food.
His base would not see that and be like, presidential. They would be like, how dare they?
Right.
Yeah, you know, wasting his good old time.
Exactly.
He's tweeting.
Yeah.
Also, if I had to guess, black Southerners are also probably not trying to
have Trump come serve them.
Have him come down there.
They want him to go,
like,
anyway.
They would literally be like, "We are going
to
try this bootstrap."
Yeah,
shit,
we're going to fucking
here.
Make it happen. We'll do a backflip pulling our own damn bootstrap
right.
up, rather than have your ass come here. Absolutely. They don't want him either. But you think that, like, it would just, because, you know, like, this self-aggrandizing white identity, no offense, you know, like, you'd think that it would help them.
You don't
to
have
be,
to apologize.
Like, Big Daddy Rich came and helped them pour, you know, I think that would make them feel good.
Yeah.
They like to feel
and
good
also,
about themselves.
And also, if you do something like that, the people that you actually interact with do thank you. So you get to feel special if you are Trump and you go to Puerto Rico to help people.
Right.
Because they'll all
they
act
will
like
think you're
the
great
presence,
too.
The people who actually saw you there, even if you were only there for 10 minutes, will like you for it.
Exactly.
And Puerto Rico, by the way, is not some, like, democratic dreamland. Puerto Rican, the Puerto Rican congressional representative, who's a non-voting representative, caucuses with a different party. They have different political parties there, and their representatives, even when they belong to the same party, often caucus with different parties. So, like, sometimes they caucus with the Democrats. Other times they have elect people there who are from the same party but caucus with Republicans.
Right.
They are not... They're a pretty conservative or sort of middle groundy political climate.
Yeah.
So they're not, it's not like New York City where there was a clear political messaging, you know, that was going on with Republicans where they were like, "We don't want to help these liberal assholes."
Yeah.
It's not like if a disaster happened in California, they would be like, "Those assholes need
they'd
to figure
like,
themselves out.
Use your
they
kale
can deal
to
with their own taxes and kale."
Yeah, excuse
but,
you. Use
but
your
with
recreational
Puerto Rico,
weed.
If Puerto Rico became a state and was actually you know, given the right to vote in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
They would not be a democratic state necessarily.
They might be now.
But they are going to be now. Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to be good. That's because they probably have Catholicism, which would make them Republican. Yeah, but now,
it's a crazy thing because for the most part, the people who really weren't able to make it in Puerto Rico left. So who's left on Puerto Rico are the better off Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, because why else would you stay there?
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. So it's not as obvious, like, if you actually think about the politics of Puerto Rico, it's not as obvious a sort of, like, boondoggle for someone like Trump to be involved in politics. That's why I'm so surprised that he's not able to wrap his head around this.
Just get on a plane and, like, be in a photo op. That's all he has to do. Someone else himself buys the tickets. Rice, you know?
Someone else organizes it for him.
He gets to ride first class there, land somewhere.
His own plane. He has his own airplane.
Yeah.
We're not actually even asking him to do that much.
Yeah.
And considering
how figure out the rest.
How many members of his cabinet are wasting taxpayer dollars on dumb, unnecessary flights, I don't see...
Yeah, good segue.
Let's do it.
I'm willing to pay for Air Force One to fly him down to Puerto Rico.
He may just do this one damn flight, you know? Yeah. If he's doing it anywhere to the golf course, he can do it there.
Exactly. Yeah. In any case.
Tom Price will not be flying there.
No, well, he'll be fine business class. Right. You know,
Tom Price won't be flying anywhere.
He's about to start having to pay for his own airfare.
Exactly.
Which sucks because he's so rich. Right? You know, how do you think he's staying rich? By not playing Revive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the secret to rich.
Yeah, this Tom Price story was sort of like a fascinating distraction at the worst possible time for Trump. Yeah. Because,
he also looks like Charlie Chaplin mixed with a baby. Yes. We have to remember this. He looks like Charlie Chaplin mixed with a baby.
He has man-child syndrome. And he looks like Charlie Chaplin.
The dark eyebrows and the white hair and the baby-like porcelain. Yes. So I didn't trust him the second I saw that.
That's such a good catch.
Yeah, think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like with Marco Rubio's ears. I'm never going to be able to unsee it now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If you look at Marco Rubio and you only think about his ears once, you will never unsee his ears anytime you see him after that.
I don't know if I'm ready to do this.
It's true. He has huge ears. And it makes him look like a child elephant. Yeah. Because he's got man-child syndrome, too. Like, He definitely does.
He looks too young. I don't think he has pubic hair.
No,
it's not proven. I want to see some photos. Okay?
Someone in Florida has those, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of hookers do.
Feel like Marco Rubio suffers from something that I can relate to, which is that he's often talked down to because he looks like a child.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can relate to.
But also, like, he can grow more facial hair than you can.
Yes.
I can't grow enough facial hair to have someone like treat me like a
dog. Also, I'm not an asshole, so I
feel
better about...
There's that. You're not like Miami Sink under climate change waters or, you know, lapping up at the door. Okay, good.
Yeah, exactly.
Back
to Tom Price.
Chaplin baby,
So, exciting. So, already, they're having a shaky week. Obamacare repeal effort.
They're always having a fucking shaky week. When do they have a good week?
That's true.
Always.
Yeah.
They had that week where they passed a budget because they were trying to get Hurricane Harvey funding. That was the only successful week they've had so far.
Yeah. But they had the week where they pulled out of the climate, the Paris Accord.
For them, that was successful.
Yeah.
Remember that Rose Garden
celebration?
But
they're already walking it back, so I don't know if it was that successful.
Okay, never mind. It's been a tough...
In any case, so the Obamacare repeal effort fails. That is in part on Price, who's the head of HHS.
Yeah, see, that I have...
Well, you have theories.
I have an alternate theory.
So
there's news on this Puerto Rico stuff breaking, and then suddenly we learn that he has cost taxpayers like $1 million since May in private and government planes.
Yeah. Right.
And everyone's like, A, where are you going?
Right, exactly.
And B,
what you're doing.
Why?
That New York Times crossword puzzle cannot be done on a public transport.
That's true.
Because if someone copies those answers, who knows what'll happen?
That's,
you know?
So true.
Someone knows what's row 37 across, knows what that is, then holy shit, this whole thing will tumble.
But in any case, it starts to prompt a bunch of inquiries, and including bipartisan inquiries.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the House Oversight Committee has to start looking into it because it's a lot more money than his predecessor. And even his predecessor points that out. Like,
even his predecessor throws
Who's that? Catherine Sebelius? Was she the one who was interviewed? There was
maybe. I mean, she did hold that.
She held that job. I can't remember who it was, but somebody who had held the position. I think it was Sebelius.
Yeah.
Was like,
interviewed
life
does about not
it
cost
and was
that
like,
much, honey.
What are you doing?
This doesn't seem like a normal thing. So as of late Thursday, Price is like, the president has my back and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Mm. As of Friday morning,
I love
Price
when this happens.
Gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love
now,
when this happens.
Yeah.
Immediately, Brent and I start theorizing. Because we love a conspiracy theory, especially in a crisis moment
like
this.
Well, the first thing that I thought of was my favorite Trump speech that he has ever given.
Yes.
The Boy Scout speech.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. The orgies on the boats.
The only speech that surpasses the Trump steak speech in craziness.
Yes, back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I love that speech.
It's hard. It's hard to beat.
That was, I believe, was Tom Price who we threatened to fire.
Yeah.
At that.
In the speech? Oh, yeah. Because I remember that.
Because he went on that rant about health.
Yeah, that medicated rant.
If we don't get health care passed.
The heads will roll.
I'm going to say. And
because Boy Scouts care about that stuff.
This was 2 days after. Because Trump doesn't care whether people are using private jet money. I mean, get real.
He's using it.
I was going to say, his whole cabinet is doing it.
He hired the Wolf of Wall Street to drain the swamp.
His children are doing it.
Yeah.
Like, he has spent more money basically, like, going on vacation than Obama did in 8 years.
Of course. Remember, that was one of the pressure points that he would put on Obama all the time.
He doesn't care that Tom Price spent $1 million. What's $1 million?
He was like, ew, don't worry. Nothing. Yeah.
I think that he basically got fired.
I think it's healthcare related. I think it doesn't have anything to do with this.
I mean, either way, this makes it look like he's been chewed up and spit out by the Trump tornado.
Oh, totally does.
Like the mooch. You know what I mean? Like everyone who gets close to the light gets burned.
This is a guy who'd been in Congress for 14 years and then took a job in the administration, and less than a year later, he's like,
He got on that plane and flew away. into the sunset.
Yeah. A commercial.
Yeah. A commercial flight.
In the back.
Embarrassing.
Next to the screaming baby.
Oh, yeah. This, I feel like, obviously, because as soon as that news broke, we were both like, well, he didn't have to resign over that.
No.
So because Trump doesn't give a shit about this.
No. So we were like, we know that something else is amiss. Either he's unhappy or Trump's unhappy. And we already knew Trump was unhappy. He's going to do the firing.
You know?
And so Price had been doing his damnedest to ruin the ACA from the inside. He cut the enrollment period. He stopped advertising for the enrollment period. That's why we're all having to tweet constantly
at each other.
Like, hey, enrollment period is
make
exactly.
sure you do this. Yeah.
But cowardly apparently too. He didn't realize it. So he had flown 26 times on private aircraft, which is a sharp break with his predecessors. He had flown on flights between major cities that offer commercial travel, like easy commercial, travel opportunities.
Oh my God, you don't need a private there.
You don't need a private plane to go to San
Diego.
Where
the hell is
he
going? Anchorage, Alaska?
Literally a hub in Philadelphia. Just fly whatever it is. What is it? United? Like, it's so easy to get there.
Is he afraid of getting karate kicked by the United staff? Is that what his fear was?
He had also used private flights to go to sort of like supposed events and things that he then did private things while he was there. He used a chartered plane to go to Nashville where his son lives and where he owns a condo.
So he went
to a medicine dispensary while he was there, but he also like went to lunch with a friend and like, you know.
Yeah. Okay,
stuff
good.
Like that.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
He's not the only person with this problem. No, Ryan Zinke, Interior Secretary. Also has some questions about his travel expenses. Scott Pruitt at the EPA, and we're going to talk a little bit about some other expenses he's incurred.
Yes.
The VA Secretary David Shulkin Shulkin isn't his name?
Shulkin. Yeah. Doesn't even matter.
He's also been under. He's an Obama holdover. He's the only Obama holdover in the cabinet.
Right. But and we see why now.
Exactly.
Yeah. We see why he fits in real well in this photo.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No questions now.
No. Yeah.
But so White House officials were already complaining that Price was traveling too much because no one could ever find him.
He's like, where's Waldo? Santa Monica, like, where is Price? Yeah. Like,
and especially as they were trying this last Obamacare repeal attempt, no one could figure out where he was.
It was like the White House Carmen Sandiego.
Exactly. Yeah. Where in the world is Price and that private jet? You know? I would actually watch a show about that. I would watch a Netflix show.
As long as he has like one of those fancy hats that she was wearing.
Easy.
Done.
And it wouldn't be
trying to watch
someone
a Carmen
San
Diego. Oh,
yeah, you know what I mean? Like, come on. Yeah. You know? We'd get the ghost of Philip Seymour Hoffman to come out and put a hat on because he also
has
eyebrows.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And we also know where he is right now. But I would watch that show. But there's always a meeting. Like, the show opens, there's always a meeting that has to happen. Something very important has to happen. And then they always reach the point where they're like, where's Price? Where's Price? And the show's called Where's Price? And then you'd follow him, and he'd be having Master of None, lunch in Italy.
Yeah, I like that.
And every day it's a new adventure.
With a friend who theoretically works in the medical industry, but in a way that actually turns out to be a conflict of interest.
They always have to have some fake conversation that is somehow work related.
And it's recorded.
It's like he's like Anthony Bourdain, you know, just like trying, like eating scorpions off of little sticks in Thailand. And we don't know where he is.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
If Netflix is listening, we are available to meet.
As you should be. Yeah. As you very well should be. Yeah.
This isn't the first time he's had some ethical issues.
Of course not.
What?
Of course not.
During his confirmation hearings, there were some questions about some some healthcare holdings that he might have had that might have influenced some policy that he had been involved in.
Yeah. Well, he's in good company because I feel like there's everyone. No untainted person, you know?
Yeah.
So whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So here's who Politico thinks might replace him.
Okay. Let's do it.
This is an interesting list because of the number. Like, I thought it would be all people I hadn't quite heard of that are, like, the HHS secretary, but, like, in a state. Or, you know, like, you know, something like that.
Random.
No, there's some South Dakota. There's some names on here.
There's some names on here.
Ooh, that's a who's who.
Seema Verma, who is somebody that we keep hearing discussed, even though she's a nobody. We've talked about her before because she's the Medicare and Medicaid administrator.
Good, because her name sounds like a disease.
She helped. I think she's the one who helped... She's somebody who helped create helped enforce ACA laws or set up ACA stuff in a bunch of conservative states.
Okay. Oh,
she's
good.
Close to Mike Pence because she helped a bunch of Republican states.
But they can't
states.
Have lunch together without a chaperone for
her.
Exactly.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
They're talking about Rick Scott.
Ooh, as a Floridian.
I was
going
to say.
Prison magnate.
Tell us how terrible he is.
Rick. Lock him up, Rick. Oh, fuck Rick
He's
Scott.
A former hospital executive, which I didn't
vampire.
Know.
Yeah.
He was also the CEO
He's terrifying.
Yeah.
By
no,
the way.
Of course he is.
Yes.
Oh, and he's like a former hospital executive in the way that you would respect, like, Nazi doctors. Like the Mengele twins.
Right.
Like, you know, like,
they're
that guy has a degree.
Doctors.
Sure. Like, he graduated, so he's getting degrees.
Also, he was the CEO of Columbia HSA, and they have faced huge fraud scandal.
Yeah.
Related fines.
Rick Scott, so a waste of humans.
There's Scott Gottlieb, who's the FDA commissioner right now.
God damn.
He's also a doctor, but he basically is trying
From
to make
where?
It. His big issue is to get the rules loosened about what drug companies can and can't say their products do. So, like, basically to allow them to talk about off-label uses for their drugs more widely.
That,
like,
sounds healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a,
that sounds like a lot of death happening.
I'm going to say something here.
Okay. Nope. Go for it.
I would like to know what some of those things are, actually.
Well, that's, I mean,
yeah, of course.
It's not right? necessarily a partisan issue. He's a member of the American Enterprise Institute, so he's still an asshole.
Okay,
but,
good.
Yeah. But for some reason, that's just like his...
That's his thing.
His
sure.
thing.
Yeah.
Right. There's David Shulkin, the VA secretary.
Great, that guy.
He's the only cabinet nominee who was unanimously confirmed of the entire Trump cabinet.
Oh, good. Okay, so he's got that.
Yeah,
right.
He's got that Boy Scout patch.
He's the one who's the Obama holdover. Yeah. He's also a physician. And
but
he's
also done some
patients.
Dirty shit, though,
yeah,
if he's a holdover. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
He's you know how there were those Obama appointees that you were kind of like, I get it, you're playing ball, but like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's one of them.
He's one of them, yeah. Clearly.
There's Marsha Blackburn.
Mm.
Marsha.
Crazy.
As a bed bug.
As they come.
Yeah.
No.
Huge, big Obamacare.
She's in. Is she still in Congress?
She's still in Congress, I think. Yeah. I think she's on the House Energy and Commerce Committee.
She's a real loon.
She's a, okay.
Super anti-abortion, like in an obsessive way, and very against Obamacare.
So she's definitely had five abortions.
No experience in the House.
So we already know. It's like the ones that are anti-gay are always gay.
But
she's definitely had a lot of babies.
They're talking about
dead.
Her maybe running for Bob Corker's seat. Because he's retiring, so maybe that won't come to pass. There's Don Wright, who's currently the acting HHS head.
Okay.
These next three are my favorite.
The next three are my favorite.
Bobby
Jindal.
I never thought I would see that name again.
Either.
Especially because he and Trump hate each other.
I know.
Right, but then again, like, isn't Trump that much of a master of working with people that once denounced him in a Never Trump movement? You know, like,
yeah, that's
isn't
true.
Chris Christie?
Make people come right around. Oh, Fat Christine. Of course he got. Of course he got Fat Christine back on.
I
promised him a hot dog.
I mean, maybe we can bring back exorcisms as part of our healthcare.
Ooh,
or bring back
as
if we ever had
as
them.
Yeah.
Right. From back in the day when that was like the main part
them.
Of. Oh,
bring
yeah,
them
we
back.
We did have
yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of abortion.
Yeah. Oh,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We definitely had exorcisms as part of our healthcare system at some point.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. This is a nation founded by Puritans.
Absolutely. No,
sure.
Can I share a quick anecdote real quick?
Obviously.
Since we're on the just remind me of this. So I was in Florida a few months ago, and driving from the airport in Jacksonville to Gainesville, where my hometown, there are so many like huge signs that are like, you had this baby and your mama kept you, so you better keep that baby because somebody kept you or whatever. But there's never like a billboard that's like for the guy, like, hey, stick with your... kid that you made, or like maybe wrap it up before you have sex.
Uh-huh.
I was looking for those billboards as well.
Yeah, no.
You know, like, okay, no, we don't need those. Okay, good.
No.
Just checking. Just checking.
No. Men.
The spaghetti stir fried baby fetuses
have
they have on there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
Classic. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We don't have billboards like that in New York City, but there is always one person on a street corner with really graphic signs. The street corner people are popular there. There was one who used to be on the Upper West Side for my whole childhood.
Yeah.
And like because of that, we all like knew who she was.
She would give out the best Halloween candy.
Yeah, like, she was just, like, and she just, like, had these really graphic signs of, like, botched abortions.
But what does
yeah.
that say about her that she could stare at that? You know what I mean?
No, I
like,
know.
That's, well, what does it say about you?
We would walk by, and my mom would be like, you could avert your eyes.
Yeah.
If you're uncomfortable, avert your eyes. And we saw, like, all sorts of kids, like, walking by, like, averting their eyes. Yeah. And she was just, like,
averting
out there.
Averting their eyes with their hands out, you know. Like,
exactly. Yeah, some sort of, please.
Wow. In any case, so back Bobby Jindal. Bobby Jindal
was like
doing health
a Mattel
policy.
Game. It sounds like a really fun Mattel game for family night. Let's play Bobby Jindal.
Bobby Jindal.
Let's all get together, put some money down, play some Bobby Jindal.
He was doing health policy before he entered politics, but he's in favor of deregulating the entire healthcare system and making it a full free market system. Yeah. So he's a nightmare.
Okay.
Yeah. Next on this list.
Because that's not going to work. Yeah.
Another name that I thought we would stop hearing. Rick
Santorum.
Rick Santorum. Oh my God.
Yeah. What is he even
doing
right now?
Why is he still relevant?
He's not.
You know?
He was working on the Graham Cassidy bill though, apparently.
Oh yeah, that did so well.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
right?
Good.
Yeah.
So he's a kiss of death. Yeah.
And then the final name on the list.
Oh,
our own Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Oh, America's teddy bear.
Makes more sense than
literally
America's Ambien, Ben Carson.
Being the HUD secretary.
Yeah.
Now
sure.
HUD.
But also, it doesn't, because he has no, aside from being a brain
being
surgeon.
A
okay, whatever. He separated twins.
Yeah.
Okay, let's call it what it is.
I know.
No one cares about everything.
Also,
he pops some twins apart.
The other,
fantastic.
He basically brought lobotomies back. His other great medical, like,
I want to see those twins
innovation.
Now. Where are they now?
His
you know,
great
what
medical innovation
yeah,
was,
yeah.
it was
yeah.
a procedure where you separate the two halves of the brain to stop epilepsy.
Okay.
And that is a lobotomy, basically.
Yeah, by another name.
By another name. But they basically he basically discovered that lobotomies could help treat epilepsy, and that's his other celebrating thing. So.
You know what? A broken clock is right twice a day. Okay.
Right,
so
exactly.
We gave it to him once for the epilepsy and once for them damn twins that I have not heard about since. Where
well,
are
I
they
also
now?
I think that
being
a surgeon isn't necessarily like an applicable skill to most other things, because it's a very literal-minded, specific thing.
Yeah, you don't even have to make a relationship with the patient.
No.
You don't even know their name half the time. There's a number you cut, zip up, and then
surgery
you leave.
Surgery is very, like, mechanical.
It's not, super mechanical,
I was going to say, that's not how it happens on Grey's Anatomy.
That is exactly...
But that's how it happened on Scrubs.
Actual surgery on Grey's Anatomy, that is how it's happening. They are just sleeping with each other, so there's
in
complications.
The middle.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know? And also,
there's complications. Like, the patient will stop bleeding because I'm getting my dick sucked over.
Yeah, exactly. That's like Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
Sure.
Why did they get sued more? Like, why didn't they have more medical malpractice problems? Like, I saw the first season. I know they got, like, the bomb threats. There's usually someone who comes with a gun once a season.
I know.
But, like, where are the power lawyers?
They people die there constantly. Maybe everyone feels bad because even the doctors face a huge array of medical emergencies and disasters where
that's
too need surgery. Like, everyone there has been through, like, 8 surgeries.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
And multiple plane crashes.
Yeah. There's like a car crash.
Yeah.
But there's never like a powerful team of people who just slap down a briefcase and say, listen, we have the security cameras.
Right.
We've seen what y'all do during these damn surgeries.
Yeah.
And we're coming back for everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
God.
Something to
Good
think
times.
About, Shonda.
Yeah. Shonda, if you're listening.
In other shady cabinet news, Scott Pruitt has also been subject to some scrutiny because he is costing taxpayers $25,000 to,
to build a bat cave.
Yeah, to build a... to build a soundproof booth for himself. So already he's got some issues.
What's
he's
happening in this booth that needs...
Well, that's the question, isn't
it? Okay. Is him to like trap his own screams inside?
No.
Yeah,
you know?
Right? Yeah,
no, it's to have secret conversations with people he's not supposed to be talking to.
Where because the fuck do we live anymore, guys?
I know.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what's
holy
funny is...
shit.
So he is claiming, or the EPA is claiming, that they're building this as a sensitive compartmented information facility, which is something all agencies are supposed to have, which is where... administrators can read sensitive documents. It's like a space that's like a private space. But the EPA already has one.
Isn't the whole freaking White House sensitive? Isn't the whole Capitol sensitive?
That's what you would think.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
but
who's putting the glass to the door?
They need an extra room, apparently,
for
that.
Okay.
That's fine. They already have one. They've had it for years. It works fine.
Right.
He's claiming that he's building this in order to meet that requirement. But in fact, all he's doing is building a soundproof booth for him to have top secret phone calls in, which I don't feel like a man who is also subject to a travel scandal, who has made incorrect statements about science and scientists repeatedly, who doesn't believe in the mission of his own agency.
Nope.
And
who was on Dancing with the Stars. More importantly.
And who also has created an 18-member security detail for himself that guards him 24 hours a day. And so basically...
For what? PETA to stop throwing paint in him? What the hell is he afraid of?
There were people that were responsible for investigating environmental crimes, and they got reassigned to just guard him. So he travels with an 18-person security
detail. Well, what's an
detail?
Environmental crime?
Oh my God!
Anyway?
I feel like
such thing.
I know. I feel like these people, including Trump, everyone in this cabinet doesn't really know what to do, but they know what the idea of what their job should be. Yeah. Like they know, like, ooh, like I should have like secret meetings and I should have like, security team follow me. But when it actually comes to the brass tacks of what you need to be accountable for, they have no idea.
No,
but this, the ridiculousness of this story is like what when you look at this story and then go back, you know, 10 minutes in this podcast and listen to us talking about Tom Price having to resign.
Exactly.
Right. Is what proves, at least to me, that I feel like the Tom Price situation had nothing to do with him flying around in private jets.
Totally.
Nothing. No. Because we're wasting 18 people to jump in front of Scott Pruitt as he tangos his way from one secret ass room to, you know? Come on.
Yeah.
And what's really going to happen in that room? Let's be honest.
The security detail traveling with him to his soundproof booth and then 18 people just waiting outside while he
makes it. Gets the bow job in there. Yeah, great.
Like 24 hours a day.
Where do we live?
But also, he's like a sneak. Like, they've stopped people from, like, now EPA, people who work at the EPA, like, don't have access to the floor that he's working on. They're not allowed to take cell phones into meetings with him. They're not allowed to take notes in those meetings.
So why is he
like,
so paranoid?
He's Nixoning
He's Nixoning I gotta give it to this guy, though. I mean,
because still climate denying,
I know, but is this, like, paranoia? But, like, what is this
paranoia.
All, like,
right.
It's
just
his
sort
idea.
Of, like,
he thinks he's a secret agent.
Right, he's really going for it, is what I'm giving it to him for.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're right.
It's insanity, and it's, like,
he is going for it.
Yeah,
he
really
always, like, has that little plastic earpiece, and it's not connected to anything, but just, like, for the sake of, like, looking tough.
Maybe.
He's probably one of those people, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Right.
Dance with the stars. Now, on to Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Or as they say, the great state.
As predicted, former judge, current crazy person, Roy Moore.
Yep.
Won that primary handily.
Right.
Sure did.
Luther Strange,
even though
no longer
Daddy Donnie,
a name that we
helped out.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No longer a name we're going to hear, unfortunately, because he's got such a great name.
I know.
Luther Strange.
Senator Strange.
Very much a
Batman
villain.
Totally.
On.
Very much. Also, like, does it hurt that when Trump was supposed to, like, be endorsing him, the NFL clip was the only thing that we really remember?
Oh, I know.
Does it also hurt that in that speech he unendorsed
him
in
the same speech?
Right. And then he, like, deleted them tweets, too, as he was saying, like, vote for this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Tweet. Yeah.
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 Great.
Yeah.
That's the guy you want on your side. That's the guy you want.
Poor 6'8" Luther, whatever his name is.
Yeah, his heart's
gonna go. But this guy is maybe one of the craziest Senate candidates we've had.
Yeah.
And that is really saying something because we've had some doozies in the last election
cycle. So
cycles.
That must be what they want then.
Yeah.
They want fucking
it's
nuts.
I mean,
it's
this guy's crazier than Christine O'Donnell is.
Yeah.
God. But seriously, like, clearly crazier than Luther. He's pulled out a gun in the middle of his thing. You know, like, is that what the country wants these days?
No, that is what
Alabama
wants.
I know.
Oh, my God.
This
Why
is
are they even allowed to vote?
Alabama, this is a man who was removed as Chief Justice on their Supreme Court in 2003 for erecting a Ten Commandments monument.
Great, because that's what the building needed.
Yeah,
not, like, justice or anything. We need, like, a new decor piece in the lawn.
Christian decor piece.
Right.
He was reelected to the bench in 2012, but then got suspended again last year because he was found guilty of violating the canons of judicial ethics on 6 charges. That's because he's rabidly obsessed with hating gay people.
Because he's gay, for sure.
Yeah.
Straight up.
At least on the DLE.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Get BJ's in the gas station.
He's busied himself for years,
know.
Like, writing letters to governors, trying to get a constitutional amendment that defines marriage between a man and a woman.
So he has...
He's one of the people who said that...
Brokeback Mountain on his phone that he just wrote.
For sure.
100%.
Yeah.
He's one of the people that
was
trying to get his state to refuse to issue same-sex marriage licenses.
Yep.
He's also Islamophobic.
Ooh,
he called Islam a false religion earlier this year.
Okay,
good.
He's also really worried about Sharia law.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
Hmm.
You know the creepy
imposing Sharia law.
Right, which is coming to America.
Of course.
It's here.
Of course. It's here. But under him.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Exactly.
Ironically.
Yeah.
He tried to prohibit them from swearing Keith Ellison in on a Quran when he was swearing into Congress.
Why? Okay.
He wrote an adorable poem that I think that we're just going
to
read to you.
Yeah.
Because this is in 2007. Why do we know about this poem, by the way? I read multiple articles that reference this poem. Does he have a book of poetry?
I was going to
sure. The fact that he's doing this stuff,
published?
Come on.
Here it is.
Okay. Oh, my God. No, well, you can self-publish these days.
That's true.
Online.
Yeah.
Here it is. America the beautiful, or so you used to be.
Mm.
Land of the pilgrim's pride, I'm glad they're not here to see.
Great. Religious
babies
fanatics.
Piled in dumpsters. Abortion on demand.
With an app.
Oh, sweet land of liberty. Your house is on the sand.
Like Puerto Rico.
Your children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine.
That's your kids. Like, first of all, kids can afford cocaine? Exactly.
Right? Like, where's the cocaine crisis is not it.
Shouldn't you just say meth? Like, everyone's on meth. Like, are you kidding me?
Choosing to indulge
their
lust.
You don't wander aimlessly on cocaine, okay? You walk a purpose when you do coke. Come on. You do not just like...
So true.
What the hell? Yeah. This is not weed, sir. Oh, my God.
Yeah, this isn't the heroin epidemic.
I know.
Cocaine makes you focused. In any case.
What?
Choosing to indulge their lusts when God has said abstain.
Okay.
From sea to shining sea, this nation has turned away.
Mm.
From the teaching of God's law and the need to always pray.
Mm.
9/11 was punishment for godlessness.
That does not even rhyme.
Tacked, I know.
That like, does not.
He was doing so well.
Even rhyme.
Right?
I mean, yeah. Was punishment for godlessness. First of all, I want that on a keychain. Okay. Secondly, like, how can Republicans in one breath be like, we are the, like, patrons fighting for the ideals of America.
Yeah.
Don't you goddamn it dare kneel, because screw you.
Yeah.
But 9/11, which was like the worst attack on America, that was all. That, was the hoax.
That was the
right.
Hoax.
Yeah, because we had too many people do it up the butt.
But with right?
So this is what we get. We get planes into our buildings.
Yeah.
Great.
What's interesting is that he's not leading the Democrat who he's now going to run against in the general by that many points.
Yeah. Better not be.
It's only six. He's only 6 points ahead.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
If Alabama has a close race because of this. That is an interesting
It's going to be interesting to see what the Democrats decide to do there. Because, like...
Yeah, because Dr. Seuss over
there,
here.
There are a lot of... I mean, the map is not great in this next election in 2018. And, like, there are Democrats who are going to have to be defending themselves, like, in places that Trump won.
So sad.
So, like, do you spend money to make a play in Alabama of all fucking places?
I know,
like,
right?
Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's already dead
to us anyway. It's going to be interesting to see how that shapes out. If I were whoever the Democratic candidate was here,
right.
I would be sort of like playing the just like silence game.
Yeah, let Dr. Seuss write the damn poems. Like, let him write his nursery rhymes.
We've learned this lesson, though. You can't play the silence
Not
game.
Not full silence.
I think
like,
instead of playing the silence game, you play the I'll stay in my lane game where you just...
Yes.
Say what you're going to say, you make the pitch you're going
to
make, and you appeal to common sense, and you don't address the craziness.
Right.
Yeah, because he's just extreme. He's
and you figure
extreme.
Out what the most crazy thing about your own platform is. And because let's face it,
good.
It's not like...
Yeah, they want to go full crazy.
Let's
go
they're going full. Crazy.
The Democrat here can't be Bernie Sanders.
No.
You know what I mean?
Alabama.
Like, I don't know who he is.
Absolutely.
But, like, he's not... He's,
but
you
if
know.
He can find a Bernie Sanders...
He probably has a gun on him right now. Yeah.
Point of rage to drive home. Then,
exactly.
If he can find the one
find
area
the crack,
where he interacts with Bernie Sanders, where he
yes.
know, intersects
it.
With Bernie Sanders' platform, find that
and
just run on
it. Humble
it,
Humble it.
Oh boy, we've slashed the amount of refugees we're going to take this year to
Good.
A record low.
Horrible.
Okay, again.
In the midst of a worldwide refugee crisis that has never been worse.
Okay, a follow-up question. It's going to sound similar to what I asked, okay? Brace yourself. How are we, in one breath, limiting the number of people who can come to help, give me your, like, weary, you're tired, you're whatever,
right.
yearning to be free. But in the other breath, getting mad at people for not, quote, respecting American ideals and Americanism. Because isn't this as fundamental to Americanism as it gets?
Yes.
Aren't we
what
we are because of waves of immigrants who came?
Yeah.
You know, like...
The only reason we began to be anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Period. Because we took y'all shit. And here we are now.
Right. Exactly.
Here we are now.
Yes. Like,
you know?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, it's...
What?
It's one of the great...
Who does this make sense to?
Well,
like...
It makes sense, I think, to a fearful and largely misinformed population of people who don't ever interact with refugees. Like,
okay.
Yeah, totally.
I think that there is like a sort of section of the electorate that is afraid, that has been told for years, and not just by Republicans, but also by Democrats, that terrorism is around every corner, and that Islamic terrorism specifically is the number one threat to their livelihood. I know a lot of people in upstate New York who are obsessively worried about Islamic terrorism.
Seriously?
Who?
Is that...
They don't have any Islamic people
right.
to
right.
commit these acts of terrimism
right.
up there.
Do you
let
think it's the
alone...
proximity of being to the city and like having had the 9/11 thing?
No,
you know,
because
do you
they
think
are hours outside of the city and couldn't be more irrelevant to
right.
everything.
Who's
going to
come and get you?
Like,
you know,
what,
like,
is it, what do
right.
they want there?
It's
what
no
do
bang
they
for
even
their buck.
Want
yeah.
there?
Right. Come get five of y'all. Like,
no,
yeah. come
exactly.
on. That makes them look
so,
stupid.
Like, but I think because of that, there's sort of a population of people that are terrified
yeah.
that they're, you know, their ideals in the sense that they're just like ability to be themselves in life, yeah, are being affected by this specifically because they are so worried about this thing that we have created a problem in the popular imagination.
Yeah. Wow.
And this is something I see moderate Democrats as being complicit in.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah, of course. So I feel like if we want to fix this, and obviously I don't mean fix this like Trump is going to change his mind. Yeah, I mean, fix this, like fix the rhetoric around this issue so that Americans aren't going to the polls and voting to keep refugees who are facing extreme political and humanitarian crises their home states, and that's why they're leaving. If we don't want to be the kind of people that keep them out, we need to figure out what we did to make people think that being compassionate is somehow impacting our safety.
Of course, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Also, like, they're so good at blowing up, not like a few isolated incidents, like not obviously 9/11 standing on its own because that was completely crazy, but like one or two things here and there, and all of a sudden it's all refugees are going to come. And like,
meanwhile, Americans are shooting each other up a storm.
Hello! Come on!
The terrorism problem here is domestic.
It's domestic.
It's a problem with young white men shooting up crowds of
people,
right?
I'm not going to be afraid of like somebody in a turban when I drop my kid off in elementary school in the future. I'm going to be afraid of you.
Yeah, right?
Did his mom turn off the World of Warcraft? Because it's coming. You know, did he have an extra red light this morning on the drive? Because it's coming. You know what I mean?
Exactly. No, I mean, that's the mystery of all of this.
Yeah.
Because they really do live in a kind of danger in upstate New York that I don't necessarily think we live in here in the same way.
And it's a white people
with
guns.
And it's a white people with guns danger.
With guns and feelings. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Come on. Guns and feelings? Yeah. Bad mix.
Worst combination.
It's a bad cocktail.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The other big story that broke amidst all of these stories was that Twitter and also Facebook earlier got questioned in the Russia probe.
Yeah.
The Russia probe is sort of just slowly and secretly quietly taken down.
We found out within the last couple of weeks, and we found out initially with Facebook because they actually like released a whole plan as to how they were going to make people.
And they had to own it.
Yeah, exactly. But Russia spent hundreds of thousands of dollars advertising on both Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
And so Twitter sort of had to answer for it this week.
Absolutely.
Facebook sort of already has.
Right.
But, yeah. Isn't that crazy, though? They're going to use, like, the most liberal places, you know, to be the most destructive.
And that's the problem with information not really being democratized because it's privatized is this.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I mean, that's the problem with having these huge corporations, whether or not they're liberal corporations or whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Controlling all of our national discussion.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of our information.
I think we finally, it's hard to comprehend why that's problematic because it feels like a free platform.
It feels like we have so many different
outlets,
but clearly it doesn't matter.
But you know, I think if nothing else, I think this will, it's going to force us to look at this in the sense that, you know, we have laws on the books that are now outdated, which is why Facebook has sort of like made up their own pretty much at this point. But I mean, you know, you obviously have to disclose who is taking out political ads. Like if you're going to run one on television or if you're going to run one on the radio, if you're going to run one in a newspaper, but you don't have to if you're going to run one on Facebook. Yeah. So, you know, Russia Today can, you know, spend $100,000 on Facebook, either running an ad for Trump or running, I think, And I think some of the Twitter stuff actually was, I think, directed specifically, there was sort of like a fake Black Lives Matter Twitter account that was like a huge thing that was really sort of driving some of the like.
Oh, and then Fox News eats that shit right up, don't they?
The racial rhetoric leading up to the election as well was like one of the things like that they're tracing back to Russian money. Yeah, so they fucking knew what they were doing.
How sort of like with this picture painted of how extensive this operation was, like how much they really like came to understand the American psyche and the American political system.
They read us like a book.
If they're mimicking Black Lives Matter protesters, if they're doing stuff like that, they have not just figured out how to reach Trump voters.
You don't just do that yesterday. You've been watching on the prowl for
a while. Some of these ads, at least on Facebook, were coming at Hillary from her left.
Right.
That were taken out. I mean, like, they knew. They got it.
They played
like,
the whole chessboard.
I mean, like, they knew. Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, they really
it was
did.
Like a much more sophisticated attack on information than I had realized, I think.
Yeah.
Ever in my life. Yet, they're not, if you ask any, like, average Republican, it's a hoax. It's not really happening.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay, because actually protecting America,
Right.
We're not going to do.
We're not going
to
bother with that.
We're going to give more money to the military, though, because
it's really important that we go bomb brown people. It's
absolutely. We'll let Puerto Rico die.
Yeah.
But Russians are a little pale for us to be.
Yeah, we don't want to question their motives.
Yeah, they're too pale for that.
They probably know what they're up to.
Yeah. We should be thanking them.
Well, final news, right? This is our final news.
Yeah, it is.
Dennis Rodman strikes again? No.
Maybe.
We apparently have a direct line to North Korea.
But yes, we do. Of course we do.
It's Dennis Rodman.
He lives out here.
Yeah.
I know.
Who knew that he would be the one that saves the world?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, but this really is the first time.
I knew. You always knew. You saw him in the Pistons, and you're like, it's going to be that motherfucker right there.
Yeah.
But Rex Tillerson is in China right now, our Secretary of State.
Yeah. De facto.
Yeah.
Big boy Rex.
He said for the first time, it's like first time publicly that anyone has acknowledged that we do have direct channels with North Korea, because it has sort of like, we sort of maybe thought that that was the case, that we could somehow talk to them, but like weren't really ever doing it.
And we were too busy calling them Rocket Man, you know, actually use those.
It's interesting though, because
we're not talking about much.
I don't know what they're talking about though, because it's funny because like he basically acknowledged that like the thing that they would like start with if they were going to talk to them would be finding out directly from North Korea what it wants to discuss.
Obviously.
So they want to talk to them about what they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And he was quoted as saying,
about
we haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh my God, what an idiot. How hard is this?
Like, they're talking about the weather?
Are they talking about the weather?
They don't
want to
disappear from the face of the earth.
Right.
We don't want to disappear from the face of the earth.
Yeah.
So just like play nice and stop insulting.
Maybe they're talking about basketball
Twitter.
If Dennis Rodman is running the show
Dennis
here,
is
potentially.
With them.
Maybe they just pass along updates about his hair color at various times.
Or if he's married himself again.
Right.
If he's divorced and separated himself, but also like, you know, he's on a honeymoon phase with himself.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's a classic American thing. Sort of like,
we love to talk about planning to talk about something.
What we're going to talk about, to have a meeting
about the next meeting. Yeah.
Like,
it's like when we text and we're like, oh my God, I'll see you for coffee, but we don't actually put the plans on. But we're going to text about how we're going
to
see each other.
We're going to make a plan to have coffee.
Yeah, it's almost the same as doing it.
As drinking the coffee. Yeah, it's like a sign of life.
Very similar. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. Oh my God. So we do have a channel, and it's Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. That's what we're assuming.
About
you heard that first at
basketball.
Brain Trust Live.
Yeah.
Hashtag Brain Trust Live.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Yes. Hashtag
BTL.
Get it right.
Yeah.
Get it right the first time.
I should learn our hashtag before I start.
I know.
you're
confusing our listeners.
We're going to,
We don't know we have one anyway.
We're going to be trending by the end of the day. Don't even worry.
Perfect. Perfect.
Amazing.
That's what we need.
In any case, that's the news this week.
Oh,
what a week it
was. So much news.
I know. Thanks so much for coming on.
Time flies when you're having fun.
This was fun.
Like, can we do this after the nuclear war, too? Like, can we just keep this going?
Oh, yeah.
We've been doing it every week for 4.5 years, so you can come back
anytime, whenever.
I
want
to come back.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
You can come to the official hashtag BTL bunker.
Yeah.
Ooh,
if we have a nuclear war.
Is it be stainless steel? Because that's what all the best bunkers are.
I know.
Okay, not some paper,
not some
shoebox wooden bullshit.
I'm going full concrete on my bunker.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Oh.
Okay. You want to have like an extra layer.
I'm going fallout shelter.
Yeah. Fallout.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good, good.
I think that's
at least
the one.
Like 5 miles subterra. You know what I mean? Like, you want to have 5 miles.
Last week, our guest actually, like, literally asked us, could I hide under my bed and escape a nuclear weapon? And my mother called me and was like,
was he
do
serious?
People your age not know how bad nuclear weapons are?
I guess we don't.
And I was like, well, we've never done duck and
cover drills.
We will now. Yeah,
we will now.
Right?
We'll know.
Yeah. Don't even worry. With
this
back
information
channel nonsense,
will get back. Yeah.
Don't worry. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm just hoping, again, as long as Dennis Rodman's property is listed in Los Angeles, I know Kim Jong is not going to be attacking here. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
That's
as
true.
Long
he's got friends.
As he is here, we have to seduce Dennis to stay here for the rest. We have to make him mayor of LA or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If he's mayor, then we...
Yeah.
Then,
really
we're safe.
Then
we're
safe.
We're so safe. You know,
I don't know what a Dennis Rodman mayorship looks like.
Fuck it, but like,
let's find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care.
Right?
At this point, can't get much worse.
No.
Okay. At this point,
let's go for it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you heard that here first too. Hashtag BTL. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Stay alive. Die another day.